But I have to figure out how I'm gonna get, put them on the online and get the audience out on that. Okay. I just don't like the way I sound on a recording. I don't know if everybody else has the same problem.
We all worry about that sound. Yes.
You sound good. Hey, Danny, can we make sure to think of a Rasul for our friends who are not well?
Yes.
Eddie Piro, Rafael Yehuda, Alter Ben Devorah, and anybody else who's suffering right now.
Yep.
Man, there's a chus for the whole world.
Man.
So, we're talking about Avshalom. We're getting to the point where he's going to rebel against his father, and that whole how sharper than a serpent's tooth is a thankless child, and how David is trying to get better and learn, you know, not selfish, not about him. This is about developing malchut, mamlacha, mishpat tzedakah, and Avshalom is looking at power. And there's a specific parak of Tehillim, so we're going to get to Tehillim now. If we're looking at the notes, we're at source 28. The parak Tehillim that really makes that kind of metaphor about the how sharp children can be, and we've actually looked at it a while ago when we looked at David going from trying to build a Beit Midrash and realizing that that won't happen. And that's Tehillim Kuf Chaf Zayin, 127. It's one of the Shir HaMaalot, and that's here. Is Shiramo Lishlomo, to get it dedicated to his son Shlomo, and has a psukim, Hine Nachlat Hashem Banim. Children are an inheritance of God. Schar Priya Beten, the reward of the womb. Kichitzim Biad Gibor B'nei HaNe'urim. That children are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Ashriya Geber Shemale Et Ashpato Mehem. Happy is the one who can fill their quiver with these arrows. They will not be embarrassed, discomfited when they deal with their enemies. That's what we do with our children. That our children are, in this metaphor, they're arrows. We prepare them, we sharpen them, we shoot them out, and then they're gone. We don't have any control after that. That's a nice metaphor, and we talked about that. What we're doing is preparing the arrows and then shooting them out, and the children go off in their own direction. And if you realize that literally, shinamtim levanecha, literally means you should sharpen your children. Okay, that's what we do. And again, sometimes we get cut by them too. But you aim them, you shoot them. Once they've left the bow, they're out of our control. And that's it's a nice metaphor, but it's a very violent one. I think that it comes up a lot throughout Tehillim, is that David is using all these metaphors that are military.
Danny, idea that they're out of our control, is that your idea or are you quoting? Oh, you're quoting someone.
Well, I'm quoting me.
Oh.
The author.
I don't think it works so well for the metaphor, because you shoot an arrow at a target, it goes where you shoot.
Okay, right. So that's part of the metaphor, is that if you're good at this, if you're a gibor and can and aim them well, then they go where they want them to go.
Even if you don't, they go where you shoot them, it might be a good target or a bad target, or it might not.
If I was shooting at something at a target with a bow and arrow.
The arrow doesn't have its own.
Right, but you are aiming them. I mean, you're trying to aim them. You're not
right.
How well you can aim them. You're doing your best to aim. They will still go. And whether you...
I don't like the way you worded there.
Well, Danny, we have another Shiloh bat, number 29.
Yeah.
Mia, dream deferred. Are you referring to Angela Hansberry, Raisin in the Sun? Where'd you get the...
Yeah, if you looked at the at that, that was one of the previous essays there, and I quoted both. It was Langston Hughes.
Langston Hughes. She was probably quoting him.
Right. She wrote the books. Yeah. So I quoted that poem there. That was the source of the title.
Okay.
Anyway, I think you want to sharpen your metaphor.
Okay, I think that's still true, that you shoot and you don't have the control once they've left the bow. I mean, that's the key thing, that you may have aimed them, but however, yeah. I want to look at what metaphor means. We're going to look at metaphors.
Okay.
In general.
Okay.
Because, you know, we have this metaphor, this violent metaphor, right? Your children are like arrows that you're shooting, and your quiver's full of them. And that, again, David does that a lot. Because that's what he does. That's the story of his life, is battle. So those are the images that he's going to use. But do we take the words of these metaphors literally? Do we care about what the words mean? Do they mean anything? Because there's a discussion in the Gemara about that. Are we praising the violence? This is a discussion in Gemara Shabbos. Talking about carrying on Shabbos. No, there's no Eruv. Matnin, Surah 30. Lo yetzei ha'ish. A man should not go out. Lo b'sayif, lo b'keshet, without it. You should not go carry your sword, your bow, lo b'taris, the dagger, below ela, which I think is a little shield. Lo b'romach, not with a dagger. B'myatza chayav chatan. If you go out carrying these things or wearing them, then you are chatat, that is carrying on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda omer tachshitin hen. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's decorative. It's part of one's uniform. It's fine. Hachami omer enu el leganai. Nope. That these sorts of things are disgrace, wearing them. And that's not talking about pikuach nefesh, you're wearing it because you need to protect someone. This is going out as part of your dress outfit. Gemara asked on that. My time at Rabbi Elazar, why does Rabbi Elazar say that it amar tashtit in hand, that it's decorative, like it's like jewelry? I can wear a watch, I can wear my necklace. Yichtiv, quote from Tehillim, hagor charbacha al yerach yibor. So strap your sword onto your thigh, O warrior. It is your glory. It is your splendor. And David is saying, yep, those things are wonderful for the warrior to be carrying around everything. It looks good. Rav Kahana asked Rav Huna, no, this isn't really supposed to be a metaphor for Torah. Look at the context. This is not. He's not, David isn't praising how beautiful swords are. He's talking about how wonderful the sharp words of Torah are. This is a metaphor. That's the origin of this idea that the text does not leave the pshat. What does pshat mean? And we've talked about that before. That there's still value interpreting the pshat of the text. And there are two different terms that we tend to get confused. There's the mashma'ut and the pshat. Mashma'ut is a literal meaning of the words. And this was an article from Megadim, I don't know who Tzion Ukshi was, saying the literal meaning of the word, who perish amilili, the literal meaning of the words. So no one's questioning that in this pasuk in Tehillim, the words mean a warrior should wear his sword. Question is that a metaphor or not? It's what the meaning is. The pshat is the undress, the way I would look at this. And the example I always give is Yaakov gives brachas to his children, compares them to animals. Naphtali is an ayalash shlucha, a deer that was let loose. No one's saying that Yaakov meant that his son had four legs and hooves and antlers. Right, it's a metaphor for the fruits of the Ginasar that he was going to live in. Pshat is understanding, pshat is what the text means without looking at it through the eyes of Torah Shebaal Peh. It's how you'd read it as a careful literary reader. And metaphors are part of that. So the Machlokah in the Gemara is, everyone agrees that you would read pshat. Question, what is David saying is pshat? What did the author of the Tehillim mean by that sentence about the sword? Is it the sword is the glory and splendor of the warrior, or is it a metaphor for words of Torah, of the glory of the Talmud Chacham? And that's the Machloket in the Gemara. That question comes up in the Tehillim that I want to look at in more detail, which is Kuf Mem Dalet. If you want to look at it inside, 144, or I can go through it one at a time, is source 32. Sorry, so that, the David Baruch Hashem Churi, blessed is God who is my rock, Hamalamed Yadai Likrav, teaches my hands to do battle. Espotai Milchama, my fingers for war. What does that mean? That's the kotera. That's the title. What is David praising? Is that meant literally? Thank God. Thank you, God, for making me such a great warrior. Or metaphorically? Same thing. The battle of Torah. My prayers. Is that what my karav and milchama are? So most of the parshim take this literally. And this is the Malbim here, Yadai Lekrav, Espetayla Melchamah, source 33. Amaya, can you see my cursor as I'm moving it back and forth?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm highlighting it, so you can see me shake it back and forth. Okay, that's what I make sure.
Yes.
I'm pointing. Thank you.
Don't see highlighting, I see the cursor moving.
Okay, so I don't need to necessarily highlight it. So, Hakrav hu ma shemit avkim b'mi karov. So Krav, in battle, is from karov, from close. So that's Hosi Mekuach Yad, that's with the hand, that's the holding the sword. And milchamahu merachok, but the war in general can be from far. That's the skill of the fingers. That's the keshet, that's the bow shooting arrows. In all mafarshim, I try to find something that says metaphoric. Because there was one point that when my kids came home with a little project that quoted this, and clearly there it was meant to be a metaphor for their learning Torah right now in school. If that's what's being a metaphor. And the Chasam Sofer does have it as a metaphor. It says, Parashti le David Baruch Hashem, Shri, Mamed Karav, Yadai Lekrav, etc. Teaches my hand to battle. He mit behaket krivam lemilchema Torah. When we get together, fight the wars of Torah. Vaz eni de Esav shalto. Then we can defeat the hands of Esav. That we have the coal, Yaakov, that was our weapons, really, is the coal, not the weapons. And we should read this as metaphoric. But that is using these metaphors in his Tehillim, and I imagine he talked that way as well. That was his life, and that's, I think, a lesson in terms of teaching children as well. That's all you talk about are killing people and arrows and swords and all that. That's the lesson they got. So if that's what's important, then obviously Avshalom is a better successor than little Shlomo is going to be. When we look at the rest of the Perek, he drops it. That's the Koteret. Thank you, Hashem, for teaching me to my hands for battle and my fingers for war. And then that never comes up again in the rest of the Perek. So we're going to look at more at the metaphoric reading of this, which there is a precedent for. And this comes from Yaakov giving a bracha to Yosef, his son. End of his life, he's finally reunited with his son, and he tells him, and source 35, I am giving you a portion over your brothers. All right, Yosef, you're going to get the double portion. Asher lakachti miyad hetmari, that I took from the Amorites, b'charbiyu b'kashti, with my sword and with my bow. This is Yaakov talking. When did he do this? What sword and what bow? And what's interesting, we've got a couple of different Aramaic translations, and the Targum Onkelos takes it metaphorically, source 36. He translates Charbi and Kashti as Bitziluti Ubavoti, with my prayer and with my request. Like God gave this to me because of what my praying. That's what my sword is. Those are my weapons. And they're talking
about there's a play on the keshet in Bakasha.
Oh, I like that. I like that. I didn't think about that. That certainly could be. That's why he makes that as Bavoti is Bakasha.
Yeah.
That works. The Targum Yonatan, the pseudo Jonathan, says literally, verse 37, the Seyaftiu Kashti, my sword and my bow. And that's interesting. If you know the Targumim, because the Targum Onkelos is usually much more literal. The Targum Yonatan is the midrashic, metaphoric one. But here they kind of switched it around. Onkelos doesn't want to take this. He doesn't see anywhere where Yaakov goes to war with anyone. So he's going to take this as metaphoric. Targum Yerushalmi, a different Targum, it says explicitly, do not take it literally. It's a metaphor. And says, but he translates as Bekashti, as below Bekashti. Not with my bow. Elhen, but b'zuchuti uva avdei tetavaya. But because of my merit and my good deeds. That's what Yaakov's Charev and Keshet is. The Rashi in explaining that goes both ways on that. B'charev Yikashti, first explanation, that Yaakov actually did have some kind of war, Kesharagu Shimon V'Levi Anshei Shechem, after the Battle of Shechem, Nasu Kosu V'Tem, Lizdav Eglahem, that all the neighboring cities came to encounter them. B'chari Yaakov Klei Melchama K'Gidat, and Yaakov had to strap onto his tools of war to fight them. This is what happened in Adonai Shechem, take it literally. And the immediately next Rashi is B'charev Yikashti, Yichachmato Tfilato. The sharpness of his wisdom and his prayer. That's the Cherev and Keshet. So you have this problem. What do I do with this Perek Tehillim? Am I going to read this as David praising God for literally giving me the power to fight war, or are you praising God for giving me the power to pray, to opening my mouth? Is it a metaphor? And so let's look at the next pasuk. Chasdi u'mitzudati, you Hashem are my mercy, my mitzudah, my fortress, miskavi, my tower, my faulty lead, the one who saves me, magini, my shield, bo chasiti, the one in whom I hope, harodid ami tachteni, you are the one who subdues my people under me. So this is not, thank you God for teaching me to fight, this is, thank you for letting me stay inside, you're my fortress and you're going to do the fighting for me. Everything is about Hashem. And then the parak continues on, and these are the psukim.
Yes, Yaakov talking, or who's talking then?
Where, here?
40, yeah.
Yeah, that is the next pasuk in the Tehillim. So the parak starts, L'David Baruch Hashem. And this, yeah. Then the next line is, that basically, it's David talking, you to Hashem are my chesed, my mitzudah.
Ah.
Okay? And then he continues on, and this is interesting because these are the parakim that we say as part of Yizkar. The psukim, rather, we say as part of Yizkar. Verse 41.
Yeah.
Hashem ma adam v'tode'ehu. You know, kind of lost that theme of thank you God for making me a warrior. It's God, human beings are so little, so pointless. What is man that you would acknowledge him? Ben adosh v'tachshavehu, that you consider a mortal man. Adam lehevel dama. Person is like a breath of air, a puff goes away. Yamav ketzel over, days are like a shadow that passes. Very depressing. The baruch there is gone. And so he continues, and said, "No, yet well, I'm depending on you, God, to save me." Hashem hat shamecha v'tered. Go. How does he translate hat? So I'm going to put this over here. Tilim memdal. I'm going to pull this up. In my Koran, make them bow down. Bow thy heavens, right? And tered. Open the heavens and come down. Ga baharim. That's from Nagea. Touch the mountains. Yashanu, and they will turn to smoke. My God, you will give me miracles. Baruch barak v'tipitzem. Strike them with lightning and scatter them. Shlach kitzecha v'tamem. Cast your arrows there. And confuse them. Again, God, you're going to do the work. I cannot do this. I am nothing. I am a simple human being. This doesn't depend on me. So what's the Baruch Hashem? What is he thanking Hashem for? This is all when he's despairing, parakim, just depressing. So then we turn. Well, I would call this the volta, the next five pesukim, the turn, where the theme changes, and this is where we learn the theme of what the parak is. Shlach yadcha mimaram. Shlach yadcha mimaram. Send your hands out from high. Patseni. Release me, batsileni, meimayim rabim. Save me from these many waters. Miyad b'nei yachar. So here's definitely a metaphor, right? He's telling you it's a metaphor. The waters that are surrounding me are the hands of strangers. Asher pihem devar shav. Their mouths are falsehood, minam yamin sheker, and their hands, their right hands, their hands of lying. I'm surrounded by all these enemies. Elkim shir chadash ashir alach. God, I will sing you a new song. You save me, I will send you a new song. I will sing you a new song. B'nevel asar azar malach, I will play for you with my 10-stringed harp. And what's the song that I'm going to sing? And Atein Shualam Lachlim Lachim, the one who gives salvation to kings, Hapotzeat David Avdo Micher Avraham, who releases David, his servant, from the evil sword. And you know, that is the content of these songs. So he's quoting it because this is now third person. It went from me to you, God, to third person God, third person David. So if you save me, God, then I will sing you this new song, which is about how you give salvation to kings and release David from the Cherevra. This is what we say as part of the prayer for the government, which I've been including the CDC when I include the government, because I do appreciate their efforts. And then he finishes this verse by going back, repeating what he said before in Zion. Release me, save me from these strangers, that their mouths are falsehood, and their right hands are lying. So it kind of brings that back to what he started from in Pesach Zion. So that's his goal. If you need to save me, God, so I can sing to you this new song. And word comes up a couple of times in there that's actually unusual is this potzeh David. What does potzeh mean? It says patseni vasileni, right? Patseni vasileni, and David is potzeh. Now it's translated here, potzeh, as rescue. But the word, this is the only place in Tehillim where that word is used that way. If you look at, right, Phyllis has got a dictionary out. Is that the alkali? NIV. Study Bible. Doesn't sound Jewish there. Okay. But so usually to potse everywhere else means to open up, specifically opening the mouth. Look at.
Oh, that's interesting. Because with an eye, isn't it petzel like a wound?
It is. They might be related. This is with a hey though. Petzari hey means to open up, open the mouth. So for instance, this is from Shoftim source 44. This is when Yiftach makes a vow that he's going to sacrifice. The first thing comes out of his house. He sees his daughter. He sees his daughter come out of the house and he tears his clothing. Viomer aha, he says, oi, biti. You have cut me down, and you've made my life more difficult. You've made things opaque. I can't see what to do. I open my mouth to God. I can't go back.
He's a stupid idiot.
That's a separate issue there, and I'm trying to understand what happened there, but I'm just looking at the word patsiti pi. I open my mouth. I said something. I can't change it.
It's like Ashreirosh, can't change my decree. I said it, that's it.
Which he could have.
Okay, yeah. That's right. We're not going to get to Yiftach. Oh, I just want to get this example.
What's Kuf Mem Dalet? What number is that?
144. The one right before Ashrei, from Tila de David. And similarly in Perek Samech Vet, he says that David says, I will come to your house with my sacrifices. I will fulfill my vow. That my lips have opened. Right? Those are the vows that I took. I want to give my olah. These are the things I said when things were bad for me. That's what I patsu sifatai. And it's used for metaphor fairly often, but still in the sense of opening the mouth. This is when Cain kills Hevel. God says, you're being punished for it. Source 46, Ata Arurata, now you are being cursed, Minadama, from this land, Asher Pastat Piha. It opens its mouth, Akachet Me'achicha, to accept your brother's blood.
Is it used with Korach?
Yes, exactly.
Oh.
Very good. Yes, exactly the same expression. The word Pastat Piharas opens the mouth. So Pastat means to open the mouth. So what does that mean here? Here in context, it's save me from all my enemies. Patseni vasileni minamayim rabim. But still, it's assumed to mean to open up. And this is Radak. So I wouldn't go with rescue, but it's release. 47. Perush patseni kmosileni. Patseni means like save me. Who korov inyan patstitipi. It's like the idea of opening the mouth. Opening up. Yimatzil Adam Miyad Adam, because saving someone already potchom masho opens up their bounds. So he's releasing, he's asking Hashem, release me from that which is holding me back. But still has this echo of opening the mouth, that that's, you're going to release me so that I can speak. Right? Hashem, you're going to give me the opportunity to sing my Shir Chadash. And it's like what we say before, we quote this before davening. Hashem, Sfatai Tiftach, Ufi Agid Tilatech. Open up my mouth. And that's what this Patseni means. Release me so that I can sing my new song. I've been singing all the, with the old song. I don't like it. That's all. Hashem Adam B'Tayde Ehu. Now I want this new song. When you save me. And what does he want to be saved from? It's Potset David Mecherav Ra'ah. Releases David from the evil sword. Whose sword? Which sword is the evil sword?
I was just going to ask you that, Danny. It's been so long since we talked about the actual text that we jumped off from. I don't know if it is it Avshalom, Yoav.
We're in the story right now. There's not in the story where I'm connecting this to. There's no war going on. I mean, it's Avshalom and David are kind of don't like each other, not talking to each other, but no one's fighting anybody.
But he came back.
He came back, right. Avshalom's already back. But what I think he's, the Cher of Ra'ah here is not to be saved from someone else's sword, it's to be released from his own sword. The evil sword is the one that David is holding. Mm. He wants to be able to put down the sword. He's been living his life in violence. That's what this means. Right? That what he's asking for is Shalom. And right now I got a warning that I got 10 minutes more before our shiur ends. Mm. We should be okay. Because the Torah says that Natati Shalom Ba'aretz, that's the ultimate reward. That I've had peace in the land, Shachtem Be'im Macharid, you will live without fear. And V'cherav Lo Tavar Barzachem, and there will be no sword in the land, as Rashi says, Natati Shalom, Shema Tomru, lest you say, Hare Machal, Hare Mishteh, I have food and drink, I'm fine, Ein Shalom and Klum, without peace is nothing. The ultimate reward is to have shalom, peace. That is the ultimate goal. Shalom shakul keneged hakol. Peace is equivalent is worth everything else. And cherev lo tavor means not only that you're going to win wars, but you will not have a sword at all in the land. And that's why Hirsch reads this pasuk here. David says, "I wish to sing the song of the future in my own lifetime. That's what I'm asking for." And that song would be. He who gives victory to the kings, whoever won wars, giving a gift to David, his servant, that is greater still. He's made him free of the evil sword, relieved him of the necessity to wield the sword, that evil in the history of nations. Therefore, I will gladly forego the blood-stained laurels of military victory. He's not praising Hashem for making him a warrior. He's asking Hashem, please, let me stop being a warrior. And then I can sing this new song. And that new song means I can use different metaphors. My metaphors before that my children are about arrows and how sharp they are and I'm aiming them. Now I'm gonna continue on this perek. He continues on his new song in Source 52, talking about his children. Asher banenu kenitiim. Our children are like plantings, sapling. Megadlim ben nurahem that grow from their youth. Notena kuzaviot. The daughters are like cornerstones, mechabatot, tamir hechal, that are carved to build buildings. The metaphor now is not about war, but it's about planting and building. That's the metaphor of raising children. Same idea of, I'm still arguing, that we do our best, and then we have to let go, which I'm still saying is what the bow and arrow is still all about. But now this is the metaphor of planting. I put it in the ground, and I prepare it, I water it, but it's still got to grow on its own. And Ruth, weren't you learning Wolba for a while? Some of Wolba that talks about that. He likes talking about this planting and building metaphors. That we have two ways of raising, two parts of the raising children. Again, that building is immediate. That's what you're doing, and it sits where you're putting it. But the brick will never create a new brick of its own. The planting is a different kind of metaphor for raising children. We dig, toil, water, sweat, and nothing takes place. We don't see anything. Eventually, maybe the seed comes up, and later the tree, and it eventually bears fruit of its own. That's our goal, is to create the tree that can bring forth its own fruit. But again, that's the metaphor that And I'm still disagreeing with you, Philip, about the metaphor of the arrow. This is the metaphor of the plant. Same thing. We do our best, we put it in there, and then it's got to happen. This is the Shir Chadash. I'm going to change what I use as my metaphor. Same message, but a different metaphor. And then when we're sitting there, I'm sorry?
Bonayach, Bonayach. Remember that whole thing?
Yes.
That works with the...
That works too, right. I want to turn my children into builders themselves.
Yeah.
That's what we want. And it continues in this parak, Mezininu, Mele'im, Mafikim, Mazan, Alzan. Our storehouses are full. They bring out from one harvest to the next. So Nenu Ma'alifot, our sheep are increasing by the thousands. Merevot B'chutzenu, they are multiplying by the 10,000s in our yards. That our success now is not in war, but it's in prosperity. Alufenu Misavlim, and it would translate aluf as in leaders. Our leaders are long-suffering. They're patient. They can handle things. In Paris, we don't say it, there's no division. There's no going out. There's no rebellion. There's no crying out in our streets. That the nation's at peace, as Rashi says. The leaders, they are supporting the burden of those who are less fortunate. And the katanim, I want to say that. Listen, the leaders, we talk in Paris, there's no division. We're all united. We're all in this together. We all work together. That's the goal. That's what success is. And that is what, that's what David is asking for in this Perek Tehillah. He starts out saying, Hamalemed Yadai Lekrav. But I think, again, the context is this. That's sort of an ironic metaphor. You've taught me the battle. My battle is ideally not in war, but it is in my prayer. And that if you answer my prayer, I'll be able to sing a new song and not praise you for the warrior side of it, but for being a leader who can lead the people and have a nation that is at peace and in prosperity. And so that's why he ends the parak with the pasuk that we quote when we start Ashrei. It's Ashrei Am Shekachalo. Happy is a nation that this is what they have. Not their success of war, but their success, their peace and economic prosperity. Ashrei Am Shashem Elokav. Happy is the nation that has God has Hashem as their God, because that's the goal. Because that's what David wants. David wants to build the Beit HaMikdash, and that only happens, we've said that before, when it's V'niach HaKem Mikol Evechem, that's the military side, he said, we have around you. Yishav Tebetach, and you will live in peace, in security. And David has achieved the first part. He may have the military success, but the nation is still not settled. People are not living securely. And it's only then it's Makam HaShem Yivchar HaShem, then we can build the Beit HaMikdash. And I think that's what Avshalom himself, and we'll see, is failing to understand. Avshalom is focused on the power side. David wants to get the unity, the security of a nation that's at peace. And that's what David is trying to do. And we'll see how that relationship between Avshalom breaks down next time. We'll stop here before I run out of my Zoom 40 minutes. Any questions or comments?
Nice.
Go.
Thank you. And have a good week. Everyone stay safe. And we'll let the Chumash Shiur started next Friday.
All right, awesome.
Happy Yom HaAtzmaut is this.